Go ahead, Ms. Blakely, when you're ready.
Thank you for being here and taking our testimony. My name is Barbara Blakely. I live in Sterling at 33035 Mercus Road. Gary's familiar with that address. I didn't make notes, so I'll try not to ramble.
Perfect.
I'm here to speak in support of Governor Dunleavy's budget. I'm very much in support of our teachers, our local teachers. I think we have some excellent teachers in our school district. I'm very much in support of our universities, but we can only afford what we can afford. I'm also very in favor of everybody in Alaska. So I think that there are so many people that depend on the permanent fund that it, I don't see that it's fair to take $1,500 to $2,500 from every person in Alaska in order that another group can have a raise or that we can keep maintaining where we're at. And at some point, we have to do the hard, make the hard decisions and make the cuts. And we haven't done it previously. We need to get there, and we need to be able to look at those hard decisions. I agree with what Christine Hutchinson said. I was thinking of it before she said it. When it comes back to the local economy, and that burden is in the local economy, by George, our local economy is going to think more about what we spend. It's so much easy, so very easy to spend somebody else's money, but it's not so easy to spend your own, and we'll make better decisions if the decisions are made in a local way. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Blakely. Ms. Fitzgerald, just put your name on the record. And proceed,
thank you.
Please.
My name is Kathleen Fitzgerald. I live at 41285 Golden Eye Avenue in Soldotna. And I really am here to say, I guess I support the POMV. When Hawker first talked about the POMV, and when years ago when we talked about we were out of money and we were going to have a state tax, we thought, and then we had another oil boom. So I think everybody should pay their way. I think we need to pay for the services that we receive. I am really here, though, tonight to say that I would love to see the Medicaid, Senior and Disability Services Medicaid budget set in a separate appropriation. There's a lot of reasons for that, but mainly it's because we have a population of people who are extremely vulnerable, developmental disabilities and seniors who really are deserving of support and help. And when they're lumped in the general Medicaid budget, it's hard to track that. We're the smallest portion of that health and social services Medicaid budget, and yet we get the same impact. And so I would really ask not for more money for senior and disability services, but that it be located in a separate component so that it could be tracked. And you can see that we have budgets and we have to maintain our budgets. We aren't allowed to go above that. So that's really what my testimony is for tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Fitzpatrick. Just need your name for the record, ma'am.
And thank you for being here tonight and providing an open forum. I appreciate that as an Alaskan. My name is Betty Wittenberg. I live in Soldotna, Alaska. My dad was here before statehood. We homesteaded. I am invested in Alaska's future for not only myself, but for my grandchildren. I use a highway. Sometimes there's only one car on that highway, and by gosh, they keep that highway open. So I do think the ferries need to keep running. So for the first time in my long residencies in Alaska, and I had to sign up and abide by an outside interest telling me what I could say to my governor, what I whether I could take a picture or record it. This our governor's open forum is run by a middleman, an outside interest, Americans for Prosperity, and I just think that's shameful. So I am very happy to see an open Alaskan forum tonight. I don't care how they do it outside. We don't do it that way in Alaska. So we need some of our our great leaders. You know, we had leaders like Hammond and Egan and Hickel, and they represented Alaska. They did not represent the oil industry or the industry force. They represented our state, as we are an owner state, and they represented our interest. And what happened to them? What happened to leaders like that? And I would like to say that, yes, I have no problem giving up part of my permanent fund or even paying income tax to bring some of that income back into Alaska from out-of-state workers. But I also know that SB 21 is not working. And it's not working, obviously, if we had to borrow $14 billion for the last 4 years because it wasn't working. So why are we not going back to the drawing board and getting rid of some of these production tax credits? Just this year alone, we're going to be paying out, got off track here, but $1.25 billion, I think it is, to the oil industry when we're cutting about that much in our state budget. There's something wrong here. And MAPA, or More Alaska Production, or SB 21, it was supposed to give us more barrels of oil. We were supposed to get, a million barrels of oil. No, that is not forecasted, 500,000 a day. We were supposed to get more jobs. People were scared, so they voted for it. They were afraid they'd lose their job. Well, guess what? 5,300 oil jobs went out of state. They were lost. And 37% of the remaining oil jobs are going to out-of-state workers. So Alaskans are told by Americans for Prosperity that their panel, not the governor, will tell us how to face its fiscal reality and implement reforms or curb government's habit of overspending. So in other words, we should cut more jobs. We should cut our education for our children, and we should cut teachers that will leave this state. Some of them already are because they don't trust that, you know, the money will be there, and they are leaving. People want a good education for their children. They're leaving because the education system is going to be gutted. And so we had state workers' jobs cut, prison workers' jobs cut, ferry workers' jobs cut, and next will come cuts to the PFD. So all of this basic public service will deepen our recession. I'm almost done. Lay off real Alaskan workers who spend money and actually live in Alaska. So we're selling our resources cheaply to outside interests who don't pay fair market value. And I will say this real quickly. In 2010, we had, and it was the same price of oil, $74 a barrel, I believe it was. Anyway, we have lost $2.7 billion. We are now getting $0.4 billion, and before that, we had $2.9 billion. That's a huge difference. It's no wonder we're having to gut our state. This is my state, and I do not want to see it gutted, and I did not get bought off by a $3,000 PFD, which I think was criminal to have people vote for him with that lie. I mean, who cares about that? I care about the state. So we do need a leader. We need a leader that represents our interest. And as I said, I'll give up part of my PFD, pay income tax for my beloved state,
when
the oil
companies
get back the oil tax credits that they do not need. We need to go back to the drawing board.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Okay, Debbie Carey, Kelly Cooper, Michelle Vasquez, come on up, ladies. And then we got Mr. Wortonby and Brother Tom Patmore, is it? And let's see who else we got here. James McMurray. Mr. McMurray. Okay, I'm going to start with Ms. Carey. Please put your name on the record.
Thank you. Hi, thank you for the opportunity to speak, and thank you for your service to the state of Alaska. My name is Debbie Carey. I live at Nanilchik, Alaska. I would like to ask a simple question. What defines you as an Alaskan? If being an Alaskan means you receive a permanent fund check each October, then by all means, please pass this draconian budget, because I can guarantee you it will hurt all of Alaskans, but you'll still get your PFD. This is not the type of Alaskan I am. I am a community member who volunteers within my community, a business owner, of a small business in a rural community for the past 29 years, a mother who has raised four of her own children and encouraged countless others in my tenure in Alaska. I currently serve on the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District Board, to name a few. I am an Alaskan because I have always been proud of what Alaskans do for each other, how Alaskans care about their neighbors, and how Alaskans are always there for each other in times of need. I implore you to look at how these proposed cuts will devastate all of Alaska. Alaskans who care about our neighbors, I, for one, do not wish to see these cuts implemented in this manner. I recently had someone tell me these cuts are like having a surgeon going into surgery with no means to stop the bleeding. The patient will die. As Alaskans, we are the last frontier. We care about each other. These cuts will have devastating effects to the Kenai Peninsula Borough. As a school board member, we are focusing on how to make $20+ million in reductions. These cuts could include the closure of all pools and theaters, the elimination of all extracurricular activities, reduction in staff, increases in classroom sizes, and closures to schools. The governor's budget puts the burden of taxation on the individual municipalities and boroughs, while systematically stripping them of their ability to fund their communities by taking away the oil and gas property tax money, fish tax money, community revenue assistance, by shifting the responsibility of school debt reimbursement to the communities. All of these things will hurt the borough's ability to fund essential services. These cuts represent over a $40 million to the Kenai Peninsula Borough. Our borough cannot sustain a $40 million cut in 1 year. In my earlier example of the surgeon, I must ask you who you want in charge of the scalpel, an educated person or an uneducated person? As an Alaskan, I would like to offer implementing a strategic step-down approach to reducing funding and a sustainable tax structure to share the burden of taxation would better serve all. I am willing to pay a statewide sales tax, an income tax, and to give a percentage of my PFD to guarantee Alaska remains healthy and viable for today, tomorrow, and the future. Are you?
Thank you, Ms. Derry.
Good evening. Thank you, Speaker Edgman, Vice Chair Johnston, Representative Knopp. My name is Kelly Cooper, and I'm a member of the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly and Finance Chair. While I speak about the Borough Assembly finances this evening, I am speaking as myself, my individual, not for the body. The budget as proposed by the governor is an example of a shell game. While he campaigned on reducing the budget without raising taxes, this budget may indeed raise taxes, cost shifting to local municipalities. The elimination of school bond debt reimbursement of $2.6 million and the fish landing tax of approximately $727,000 will reduce our general fund. The loss of the petroleum property tax of almost $15 million takes another significant hit on our general fund, as well as our service areas. As you know, our borough only retains 10 of those 20 mills, as opposed to keeping the entire 20 mills like other boroughs. We do look out for our seniors. We continue to offer a $350,000 senior exemption on property tax. But for our borough to remain status quo in 2020, the general fund mill rate would have to be increased from 4.7 to 6.29. Our residents rely heavily on our emergency and road service areas. Some examples of service areas that would be hit the hardest are as follows. Nikiski Emergency Services. They would have to see a mill rate increase from 2.7 to 6.9. All of these numbers are on top of our general fund mill rate. Anchor Point Emergency Services, they would see their mill rate go from 2.75 to 4.35. North Peninsula Recreation Area mill rate would go from 1 mil to 2.6. The road service area would go from 1.4 mils to 1.87 mils. I understand and support the need to reduce the budget. But to say the state budget is going to be balanced without raising taxes is disingenuous at best. If these cuts are approved, the borough is faced with reducing essential services or sizable increases in our mill rate. The reduction of $22.4 million in education funding is in fact draconian to a district that has reduced its budget annually over the last 5 years. Sadly, I have heard the term draconian to describe this budget more than any other adjective. I know there will be additional folks here that will be speaking to the school budget reduction, but I'd like to go on the record to say I stand against increased pupil-to-teacher ratios, against completely eliminating our extracurricular programs, against school consolidation and closures. This is not what I envision for our kids. My kids are grown and gone. I'm a grandma. I still support our school system. When I think about our education system, it's not kids on dark, dangerous roads in winter for much longer commutes to school. It's not seeing lost opportunities for scholarships, I'll speak faster, and lost motivation for our students with no extracurricular activities such as sports, debate, music, and arts. We know students involved in extracurricular activities score better and tend not to get in trouble when not in school, and certainly isn't losing the heartbeat of communities by being forced to select which schools may have to close. These actions will do nothing but cause the loss of families and jobs. I will work with you to find reductions, but let's do it responsibly, a step at a time, while considering the consequences of this proposed budget. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cooper.
Good evening. Thank you, Speaker Edgman, Representative Johnston, and Representative Knopp for being here tonight to hear us. The first thing I want to say is a quote from Hubert Humphrey, who was...
Ms. Vasquez, can I get you to put your name on the record, please?
I'm sorry. My name is Michelle Vasquez, and I'm a 20-year resident of Alaska. The first thing I want to do is quote a statement from Hubert Humphrey, who was a former U.S. senator and also a former vice president. The moral test of government is how that government treats those who are in the dawn of life, the children, those who are in the twilight of life, the elderly, and those who are in the shadows of life, the sick, the needy, and the handicapped. The next thing I want to say is that I believe the governor's proposed budget is immoral. There is not a single cut in this budget that I can support. Instead of cutting, we should be investing in K through 12 education, the university system, the marine highway system, and other infrastructures. We should not cut the PCE. We should not cut pre-K, Head Start, Medicaid, parents as teachers, best beginnings, and programs and services that help the most vulnerable Alaskans. We should be doing more to finance these critical programs, which is why I support a progressive income tax, the total elimination of tax oil credits to the wealthiest companies in the world. And I will gladly give up my PFD. Cuts proposed by the governor are mean-spirited and cruel. Please don't go down that road. Alaska is better than that. You are better than that. Reject this horrific budget and implement new revenue streams. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Estes. Mr. Wortenby.
Good evening. I'm Dr. David Wortenby. I'm a former professor. I was a professor at Kenai Peninsula College for 18 years and 22 years on the East Coast before I came here. I live here in Soldotna, and I want to thank you, Representatives Knopp, Johnson, Edwin, and also if Carpenter is still here, to hear what people have to say. I don't really want to try and get into the weeds, as we have heard, in terms of actual monies and amounts, but I'd like to talk a little bit about philosophy. Philosophy is this: we have things that we want and we have things that we need. I'd like to have a great big PFD, but I don't need it. I need to have breakfast in the morning. I need that. We've got to come up with what do we really need and what do we want. Well, the things that we need are the things we should prioritize, especially in times of short money. And so the kinds of things that we need are education, we need health care, we need social services, we need protection from our police, we need our roads taken care of. And these things take money. We all understand that. But education is of paramount importance, and that's the one I'd like to cover. Obviously, that's my background. But when you think about it, if you don't educate people, of course, what happens? The spiral is that people move out because they can't get their kids educated. They can't stay. In fact, we heard about this before many, many times. Well, my kids moved out because they couldn't find a job here. Or they went to school somewhere else. And if they went to school somewhere else, they found a job somewhere else and they didn't come back. We need to develop our own. We need to grow our philosophy at the university for a number of years so that we can provide for and come up with educating nurses and doctors and people in the healthcare, physical therapists. The numbers go on and on, the titles go on and on. We need all of those folks, and we can educate them here. But if we eviscerate the university system, which is what this government, this plan is going to be, it's going to totally decimate the university system, we'll not be doing that. We'll not be growing our own. Our kids will have to go somewhere else to go to school. And of course, the other thing that happens is we will have bigger and bigger classes, and so our education services will get worse and worse and worse. Every teacher will tell you that when the class sizes grow larger, the education quality goes down. When students going to school very early, the education is improved. That's nationally known that improves the quality of education. And what we're going to be doing with this is to decimate our education, the K-12 education, the preschool education, and now, of course, secondary education as well as the university. That's foolhardy. That's not the way we should go. That's not the society that we want. Now, we've got to pay for this stuff, and how do we do that? Well, let's be honest with each other, and let's pay some taxes. Let's pay for those things. And let's also go out and find where the wealth is. You know, our Constitution says that you and I own all of the resources. Well, if people are going to come in and take those resources, they should be paying for that privilege and for that ability. And they pay very little, and we keep giving them away. This idea of having a PFD, quite frankly, I'm bothered with that. It's kind of pandering to those folks who want something, but they're forgetting what they need. So I'm asking for your leadership, asking for you to take charge and to take over where we have not found our leadership. We need folks who are going to lead us to, one, the society that we want and paying for it in whatever way it takes. You guys decide. Whatever it is, I'll live with it. If it takes my PFD, that's okay. If it takes taxes, that's okay. Whatever you decide. But we need leadership, and I call on you to provide that leadership and, quite frankly, dump this this draconian, I'll use the word draconian, budget. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Wortenby.
My name is Brother Tom Patmore. I live in Clam Gulch. I'm a 53-year resident of Alaska. I'm not opposed to budget cuts, but the ones that the governor has proposed and the degree that he's proposed them are totally outrageous. We don't need to just keep taking money from the permanent fund with the fund just being decreased in value, resulting in lower checks in future years and less reinvestment money. Since the permanent fund has voted to spend money in Alaska now, investing in Alaska projects, why don't we sell them the Dalton Highway? It's costing us $20 million a year to maintain that road. Let's sell it to the permanent fund. Let them make a toll road. They can be making money off the oil industry, off of tourism, off of hunters and fishers that use that road. There's lots of ways. They can be selling lots along it for private development and home building and businesses. Another thing is the ferry service. Let's not take away the ferry service. That's really needed by people in these coastal towns. I propose that the ferry service, I don't know what the ferry service is costing the government a year, but if we sold that to the permanent fund, I bet the permanent fund could manage a lot better. And some of these routes where you said only one passenger gets on the boat, well, that's not worth taking a big 300 and some foot ship to that port. Another thing which is costing the state, well, I don't think it's costing the state money, but the Alaska Railroad, that could also be sold to the permanent fund. They could be making money off of it. I want to apologize for the state. I think I'm the one that screwed up the deal where they were trying to sell the railroad to Montana Rail Link years ago. about 25 years ago, they were trying to sell it, and I wrote a letter to the president of Montana Rail Link, and I asked him the question, has Alaska Railroad mentioned anything about the fact that they killed 75 moose in 3 days, and if it was a private-owned railroad, they wouldn't be allowed to get away with that? They just dropped the case, and they never did buy the Alaska Railroad, so I'm sorry about that. But I didn't want to see the Alaska Railroad go bankrupt, and if we were to sold it in 1983, after killing 75 moose in 3 days, they finally did a study to see how they could kill fewer moose. The only result and conclusion was that they'd have to slow the trains down so slow they couldn't be competitive with the truck drivers. So I said, okay, keep them going, full speed. We don't care how many moose we kill. By selling these three things to the Alaska Permanent Fund, we'd keep control of these things within the state. We don't want to sell them to some outside entity that's going to, like that museum that they're talking about selling. You sell that outside to somebody outside, and they're just going to sell off all the artifacts, and we ain't going to have no museum. I guess that's about all I have to say right now.
Thank you, Mr. Patmore. Appreciate it. Mr. McMurray, Mr. Sturman, you'll be up next if you want to come up. Give me just a minute here.
Yes, sir.
We're going to get a couple more up here. Ms. Cassidy, Catherine Cassidy, you'll be up right after Mr. Sturman. And then Karen, is it Grebel? 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 Karen? Okay. And then Ms. Washburn after that, please. Okay. Whenever you're ready, sir, just put your name on the record.
Thank you, Mr. Edmond, Mrs. Johnson, Mr. Knopp, for this venue, for people showing up for the venue. I'll try to be quick here. Jay Hammond, Wally Hickle, they're turning over in their grave. Politically, we're attached to Washington. Economically, we're attached to Asia. Fishery-wise, where we sell, and we need a tourism. We need to tax the oil and gas industry. We're on the bottom of the list nationally, internationally. We don't even tax compared to internationally. They need to pay their fair share, and they're not even close. Let's just be reasonable. They need to step up to the plate. They always play hardball and say, well, we'll leave. No, they won't. They're not going to leave their leases. They're not going to leave their infrastructure. And if they do, you get to resell their leases and their infrastructure. They're not going to leave, okay? We have over 200-plus airports in the state of Alaska. You going to close those? No, we can't. We have a lot of airports. We're a huge, huge state. The marine highway system, that's critical infrastructure. Kodiak, Segovia, it ain't where people live, it's where they live. We have a marine highway system. We have a road to Anchorage. We're not going to shut it down because it don't make money. I don't think there's a fire department in the state of Alaska that makes money. Are we going to shut those down? No. Okay. The lady mentioned Senate Bill 21. They're going to more jobs, more oil. State of Texas, North Dakota, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado produce more oil and gas than we do. We're number six. You know what number seven is? Democratic, greeny California produces right behind us. So about all I have to say is do the best you can. And like Hammond said, the permanent fund is to fund state government in the future. We have $64 billion in that. We are not a poor state. Thank you for your time. Thank you for this venue.
Thank you, Mr. McMahon. Mr. Sturman.
Fred Sturman, 136 Riverview, Soldotna. I've lived here for many, many years. But there's probably a few guys and people in this room remember ACT, the company that, the group that we had together 20 years ago. I don't really feel sorry for what's going on right now because our group paid for it ourselves. We had booths at the fair. We had booths at the Soldotna days. We had booths at Kenai days and trading and different places. And we had graphs showing that the oil was going to run out, the money was going to run out, and nobody would step up to the plate 20 years ago when we was asking you to start cutting back because we're running out of money. And I think there's about four or five people here that remembers ACT. We asked for no money. We raised our own money. There was 20 of us. And the reason we're not in business today is that they're all, most of those people are dead. Most of them that would be alive today would be in their 80s. So I don't feel a lot sorry for all of the government that we've got today, because a few of us tried to slow it down. You can talk to Paul Seaton. I talked to Paul a lot of times about it. The school district was right across the booth from where we had our booth, and we showed them all the graphs, the money, and all of that, and they kept saying, give me more. We got to have more. We got to have more. 20 years ago, our group begged you people to cut the budgets, slow down the spending, save more money, and not one legislator ever did 20 years ago. And I don't really feel sorry for the people today, because they didn't have enough foresight 20 years ago to save some money and put it away. If we would have kept our slowly 2% graft growth in government from the 50s to today, put the money in a permanent fund, we would have $160 billion in a permanent fund instead of being broke. If you pay our unfunded mandates, our bonds, and everything we have to pay, the permanent fund is not there. The bonds and the graft, if you'll look at that, there's about $30 to $40 billion we owe today in unfunded mandates and in bonds and four-time deal. And that money has to be paid. I don't know where you guys are going to get this money that you keep begging for. Just cut down. The governor's budget is not cut enough. Thank you a lot.
Thank you, Mr. Sherman. Ms. Cassidy?
I'm Catherine Cassidy from Kosilov. Thank you very much for bringing this hearing to our community. Clearly, we need more revenue. I want my state to nurture and educate children, to manage natural resources proactively for the maximum sustained yield, to contribute to a safety net for our vulnerable residents, and maintain good infrastructure to support current and future business. And I'm willing to help pay for it through a reduced permanent fund dividend and taxes. I don't believe there is anything, I don't believe in free lunches. For the past 5 years, I've been an advocate of state income taxes. I'd like to see oil tax credits reduced, SB 21 again, and I also think I'd really like you guys to revisit the 1982 dividend formula. I think it's due for a change to bring us into the 21st century, and maybe that would kind of reduce this idea that somehow the permanent fund belongs to Alaskans but not Alaska. That's some kind of fuzzy thinking to me. You guys have a real tough job, but we're out here willing to pay our share for good state services. Thanks again for coming.
Thank you, Ms. Cassidy.
I may have made a mistake. Her name, last name is Cassidy, and my first name is Cassidy. I heard Cassidy. So I don't know if you want
to
wait.
My last name is Corbell?
No, my last name is Cameron.
Cameron.
So
okay,
I can
wait. Excuse me. No, I don't see you. So I do have Ms. Corbell next,
yep.
And then stay right there, and you're going to go right after her. As long as
you're there. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I just thought nobody else would be named Cassidy.
Hello, my name is Karen Corbell, and I am a proud resident of Alaska of 38 years. I thank you for your time and being available to listen to us. I live at 57820 Blueberry Glen Road in Homer. And I wanted to put my face forward as a person who is being affected by all these various cuts to the budget. I also, before I just say my few things, would like to acknowledge and thank Kelly Cooper for her words, because I am an educator and I support everything that she said tonight. I arrived in Alaska in 1981. I graduated in 1983 from Homer High. I married in 1990, proceeded to have five children. They all went to school here as well. I am a product of the Kenai Peninsula College system. I went to KPC and KBC, living in Homer while raising teenagers, I might add, which was challenging. I graduated from college in 2012. I was fortunate to do my student teaching with Conrad Woodhead at Chapman Elementary, and it was a fantastic experience. I proceeded to look for jobs after I graduated, and ended up having to go out of state for 5 years. We recently returned. I landed a great position at Chapman Elementary. I'm a fifth grade teacher there, love it. It's such a warm, wonderful school. It is a true family environment. All the things that you've heard positive about small schools is being done there. It's a fantastic example of what Alaska has to offer. In addition to my teaching career, I have a dad who was the naturalist on the Tustamina Ferry for 12 years. I was fortunate enough to also do two seasons on the ferry. That the marine highway system is so important. I had a sister, my baby sister, went to McNeil Canyon School. All these things add up to the fact that you all have a hard job. Budgeting our, balancing the budget, I can't even imagine what that would be like for those of you in your position. But I do know that it provides a lot of uncertainties. My husband and I actually for a short time considered possibly leaving the state again. But that's not the road we want to go down. It's affecting lives. Decisions are needing to be made now. So please, I would encourage you to work fast. Find a multifaceted approach that shares this financial burden across the board. So many are affected. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. So, Cassidy, I'll just get you, put your name on the record for me, ma'am.
Thank you. My name's Cassidy Cameron, and I'm the city manager in the city of Soldovia. Thank you all for coming to the peninsula and allowing us to have a public forum outside of Juneau. We really appreciate this. I know my community does. We also appreciate the state's commitment to sustainable spending. However, we, like so many others around the state, want to draw attention to the unsustainable impact the proposed FY20 budget will have on local governments in Alaska. The city of Soldovia is responsible for municipal governance in our community of just 216. We have 7 full-time employees and 10 to 15 seasonal part-time employees who fulfill the obligations of local government. We already operate on a cut budget. Our ability to do so is very limited by statute, by public interest, and available resources. Traditionally, those resources have included state and federal funding, which offset the burdens that might otherwise be felt by a local tax base. Our tax revenue comprises of 72% of our total general fund budget, and any impact from state decision-making on local economies further weakens Soldovia's ability to sustainably serve our community. This includes cuts to the ferry service, education and public safety, community assistance, which we very much depend on. The city of Soldovia is serviced by the Alaska Marine Highway System. It is a central mode of transportation for residents and visitors to Soldovia, which is located obviously off the road system. The docking fees that we receive from the ferry service goes directly into our dock fund. our economy and business owners have heavily depend on the ferry system to transport goods and services. The ability to transport these goods and services is directly related to our sales tax revenues. A loss in ferry service translates into less tax, sales tax revenues, loss of business and commerce, loss of economic growth. Soldovia will be stunted in an already underdeveloped economy. The Kenai Peninsula Borough's receipt of petroleum property tax represents a significant portion of their budget. Cuts to this program would eventually trickle down to Soldovia in the form of higher property taxes and sales taxes. While community assistance right now remains funded, we are concerned for its long-term viability. It consists of 13.5% of our general fund budget. In FY17, community assistance was cut by 34% to our community. The assistance is essential to our general fund and our services that we provide. We managed the significant cutback back then by cutting our expenditures and implementing staff reductions and significantly raising our mill rate. The increase in property tax, I'll go faster, was a difficult decision for our community, but was necessary means to bridge the budget deficit. There's no room for our tax base or budget for further cost shifting. Soldovia cannot stand long-term gaps in the ferry service. Our community will diminish. Thank you for listening to us. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Washburn.
My name is Marie Washburn. Many of you in the community here would know me as Brandy Washburn. I used to be a realtor. I've spent 65 years and some months in Alaska, but I wasn't born here. Okay. I grew up in Anchorage. I lived in Fairbanks. I went to college in Fairbanks at University of Fairbanks. I went to college here for a little bit, took some classes here. You know, I've been in Kenai 22 years now. I fully support by the law our getting our PFDs back. Then we can donate it if we want to donate it to our public services that are greatly needed and to the places that do need it. But I do not like the idea of being stolen from. As far as the budget goes, yes, there's some budget cuts we all could make. And I'm afraid to say it. I hate to say it because I hated it when we had state tax. But yeah, a tax is necessary. It's necessary. But don't take our PFD away. Let us give it to you. We don't mind giving it to you. We want the vote to do it, though. That's all I got to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Washburn.